ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The guidance to the school of Ahlul Bayt, to the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, is the most important gift and bounties we receive from God. Nothing, no blessings, no gift is a greater than being guided to the right path, than being guided to a path that God wants you to follow. And that is the path of the Prophet and his family. And we, the followers who claim to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt, we should appreciate this gift. Oftentimes we don't appreciate this gift. We take it for granted. We should appreciate this gift and become thankful and grateful to God for providing us with this gift and act accordingly. What does distinct the followers of Ahlul Bayt from other traditions? There are many things. Many things that makes the follower of the Prophet and his family distinct and different from others. I would mention a few of them today and maybe next Friday, inshallah, the other elements. The most important distinction between someone who follows the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, with others, is the open-mindedness, the open-minded approach to understanding Islam. God wants us to understand history with open-mindedness. We are not parrots, we are human beings. Sometimes people memorize something, but they don't understand it. God wants us to have a critical approach into understanding Islam. Meaning that when we read critically, with a critical analysis. We are not reading a passage to memorize it, but to understand it. وَتَعِيَهَا لِنَجْعَلَهَا لَكُمْ تَذْكِرَةً وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنٌ وَاعِيَةٌ. God says, I want this book to be understood, to have an attentive understanding to this book. وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنٌ وَاعِيَةٌ, with open-mindedness, with intelligence, because you are human beings. Because you have a brain, you have reason, you have an intellectual power. Islam to be understood. I just came back from a 40 days trip to so many countries. I went to one of the countries, it was a Friday. I passed by a mosque, so I decided to stop and pray. The language which is used in that place is French. The Imam stood to read Khutbatul Jum'ah. He has a booklet. He read the first and the second sermon from the booklet in Arabic. No French, no English, not even the native language of the people there. And I was 100% sure that none in the congregation understood not even a sentence of what the Imam was saying, believe me. Imam is a graduate of Al-Azhar, he studied Arabic, and he was reading it from a book. From a book. Luckily, he read only 5 minutes, alhamdulillah. The first sermon was 5 minutes, the second was 5 minutes. None in the audience understood. And then he did Salat al-Jum'ah and people left. I asked one of them at the door when I was leaving, did you understand the sermon? He said, no. They attend for barakah, blessings. But this is not Islam. This is not what God wants you to do when you go to Salat al-Jum'ah, to sit there and listen to someone who speaks foreign language. He does not relate to you. You are wasting your time. Islam is not a mechanical religion. Islam is a spiritual, moral, rational religion. We need to understand what ta'ayyaha udhunun wa'iyya. If you don't understand the Quran, don't read it. There is no blessing in something you don't understand. Who said to you that there is a blessing? Where is the blessing? If your mind does not understand what you read, what you listen, there is a blessing? There is no blessing. The Prophet himself, the Prophet of Islam says, if a day passes by and I don't understand anything in that day and I don't learn a new thing in that day, that is not a blessed day for me. It is not a blessed day. Where is the blessing? This is how Muslims are learning their religion. In a mechanical way. In a mechanical way. There is no interaction. There is no critical understanding of Islam. The history of Islam is very intricate history. Very complex. Very complicated. 99% of the Muslims do not even understand the history of Islam. When you ask them about the history of Islam, they know nothing about it. 99% of the Muslims, they equalize between the murderer and the murdered in Islam. Two people killed each other, both of them, they go to paradise. They put together the criminal with the victim. Both of them enter paradise. Both of them, radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum. No, God is not a naive God. Yes, He's the God of forgiveness, but He's not naive. Where is justice then? If God wants to put the murderer with the victim in paradise, where is His justice? God is the God of justice and fairness and equality. He's not an arbitrary God. He's not a naive God. They believe in this hadith, which many speakers during the Friday prayers, they speak this hadith. They shout, they scream that the Prophet promised 10 people to go to paradise. 10 people to go. You know, when the Prophet died, the population of Medina, only the city of Medina, were almost 150,000 Muslims. 150,000. Out of those 150,000, only 10 people go to paradise? Then this means that Islam is the wrong religion. The Prophet did not do anything. Imagine if I am teaching a class of 200 students. Only one of them can graduate and understand my lesson. The rest, they don't understand. They fail. Am I a good teacher or bad teacher? Out of 150,000 Muslims, only 10 people go to paradise, promised paradise by the Prophet. This means that this hadith is fabricated. Through rationality, a rational, reasonable approach, we understand this hadith is not accepted, is rejected. So we need to have an open-minded understanding of Islam. When we read every bit of the history of Islam, it has to be analyzed, critically analyzed and understood. Because within the history of Islam, there were many wars. Thousands of people lost their lives because of wars between the Muslims. Muslims were killing each other. So who's right and who's wrong? All of them are right? All of them are right? All of them go to paradise? Then where is justice? So we have to understand who's who. And that is what distinguishes Shia Islam from others. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we are not naive. We follow our imams. We follow their reading of the history of Islam. The Prophet himself said, in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is treated as the most sacred book, but people don't understand it, and they don't follow it. They don't follow it. For them, it is the second book below this book. This is the Quran, and underneath it, exactly, is Sahih al-Bukhari. But they don't understand it. They don't act upon it. The Prophet says in Sahih al-Bukhari, many people are going to come on the Day of Judgment. They say, we are your followers. Allah says to me, they are not your followers. They turned back against you. When you died, they shifted away from you. I say, Ilahi, Ashabi. Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُوا بَعْدَكَ إِنَّهُمْ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمُ الْقَهْقَرَىٰ. You don't know what they did after your departure. They shifted away. They turned against you. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. We need a critical understanding of Islam. We should not be naive. Yes, we should promote love, unity, understanding, respect. All of these things are correct. But again, at the same time, we have to open our minds and our eyes when we study the history of Islam. So this is the most important distinction of Shia Islam. We study with understanding. We study a critical analysis of Islam. What happened? What exactly happened during the time of the Prophet and after the time of the Prophet? The second distinction is the recognition of the Imams after the Prophet. Who are the Imams? If you go to an average Muslim and tell him who succeeded the Prophet, they will mention names. Some of them mention four names. Okay, four names. Four caliphs. Who's number five? They don't know. Who's number six? We don't know. The Prophet left the Ummah without leadership. I was away from you 5 weeks, five of Fridays. Did you come to the mosque and you saw no Imam here? And one of you said, let's elect one. One person says, Shahidi, let's. The other one say, Mr. Whatever. No. Small mosques, needs a successor. The Imam has to appoint someone. This is a responsibility. The Prophet leaves his Ummah, his entire Ummah, not a small mosque, the entire Ummah, without appointing someone. Because he has good trust in the democracy of his Ummah. His Ummah were fighting among themselves. Read the history. Some of them attempted to murder the Prophet when he was coming back from Tabuk. They wanted to murder him. They plotted against him. The Prophet would not leave his Ummah without a successor, without appointing someone trustworthy, someone who can do the job right. He wouldn't do that. In one of the discussions with a shopkeeper in Mecca, The shopkeeper said, "Where is the dalil, the proof that the Prophet appointed Imam Ali?" I said to him, "The proof is here in your mind, if you have a mind." He said, "How?" I said to him, "You are baqqal. Baqqal, simple shopkeeper. You sell juice, you sell bread, you know, cheese. Has it happened that one day you leave your shop open without putting someone here to take care of your shop, even for half an hour?" He said, "No." I said, "If you, Hadrat al-Baqqal, your honor, if you don't leave your small shop without appointing someone here, for the Prophet would leave the Ummah, the entire Ummah, the entire religion of God, without appointing someone. So you are more intelligent than the Prophet Muhammad." He said, no, astaghfirullah. I said, "Then use your brain. Use your brain. Your brain tells you the Prophet would not abandon his Ummah without appointing not one successor, many successors. And you write in your books that the Prophet in numerous occasions, he said, Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di ithnay ashar. You mentioned that in your books. Kulluhum min Quraysh. All of them are from the tribe of Quraysh. They succeed me. Not only one. He mentioned the name of the 12. Look into the books. So the second characteristics of a Shia Muslim is that his loyalty to his imams. The loyalty to Allah, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and to the imams of Ahlul Bayt. And this is exactly what this book says. This book says, if you don't want to be divided, if you are seeking salvation, then اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. Have reverence for God and follow the people who speak the truth. اتقوا الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. In this life, you cannot take a friend. If a friend betrays you, cheats on you, lies to you, can you take him as a friend? Can you take him as a partner in a business? If you find out one day your partner in the business is cheating, he's a dishonest person, would you continue doing work with him? No, you would stop immediately. So if you cannot tolerate a partner in business or a partner in life to continue work with him or her, how can you tolerate a leader who does not speak the truth? You shouldn't. A leader leads you into salvation or damnation. So you have to be with those who speak the truth. اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. And صادقين, according to the tafsir of the Quran, هم محمد وآل محمد عليهم الصلاة والسلام. I saw people when they embraced the school of Ahlul Bayt, their entire life changed. You know, my friends, we who are born Shia, we don't change. Why we don't change? Though we have the best imams, the best legacies of the imams, we attend lectures, we listen to our imams, to their hadiths, to their legacies, but we don't change. Why? Because we took religion for granted. Because we did not discover religion, we inherited religion. There is a difference between someone who struggles to discover and then finds the truth, and someone who inherited the truth by his parents without working hard, without spending his time, his effort to search for the truth. Same like money. Someone who works hard to make money, he knows the value of money, because he works hard. And someone who inherited money from his father bequeathed him the money. He didn't work for it. He didn't earn it. He found it in his bank account. So he doesn't understand. He doesn't appreciate the value of money. Some of the Shias do not understand or appreciate the value of Ahlul Bayt, because we inherited that from our parents. We did not discover it. But some of you who are sitting right in front of me, I can recognize you among our men and women. You worked hard. You struggled. Some of you struggled for 10 years, 10 full years to find out about the truth. And Allah guided you to the truth. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. God is the one who guided you, and you accepted the school of Ahlul Bayt wholeheartedly, with love, with care, with appreciation. Therefore, your life is changing. Your life will change. Your manners, your akhlaq will change. I've seen many people who mustabsireen, some of those who found the school of Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt changed their life entirely 180 degrees. You can see in their face the honesty, the truth, the love to help, the love to serve, the dedication, the ikhlas to God. Because they discovered something new in their life. And this tradition changed them, completely changed them. They did not inherit that from their parents. I know many of them, their families, they boycotted them. They don't talk to them anymore. In this my recent trip, an imam of a major mosque in one of the countries that I visited. I went to his mosque myself. He took me. I saw his mosque, huge mosque. The day he declared he's the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they kicked him out of the mosque. You have no right to stay here. He lost his mosque. He lost his prestige. He lost a huge followers, huge following. But you know, he tells me, I am the happiest person. I lost this mosque. I have no mosque now, but I have a mosque in my heart. I am the happiest person today. I don't care about materialism. I don't care that 2,000 people, they pray behind me. I don't care. As long as I found the truth, I am the happiest person. This is the hidayah. This is the guidance. This is the gift from God. And I will continue, inshallah, on what distinguishes the Shia Muslims from others in the next sermon, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the next week, inshallah. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.